ते नरसिंहाय प्रह्लाद लाद दयाने हिरण्यकशिपुर्वक्षः शीलतम खानखलाये इथ नृसिंह भरत नृसिंह यथ यथयामितथ नृसिंह बाहि नृसिंह हृदय नृसिंह नृसिंह मरियं शरणं प्रपद तव कर कमल बरे नकाम अद्भुत सिंगम दलिता हिरण्यकशिपु खानु बृंगम केशव दित नरहरि रूप जय जगदीश
Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Magyanatime randasya, chananjana salakaya, chakshan mitam yena, tasmai shri guru namaha. Okay, so we don't have too long, but I would like to just describe a bit about the Supreme Lord and his pastimes in this form of Lord Nrisingadev. I think we have to go back to a previous time when Lord Nrisingadev, before Lord Nrisingadev came, when Hiranyakashipu decided that, Lord Nrisingadev himself is Jai. I mean, Lord Nrisingadev, Hiranyakashipu, sorry, was Jai. Yeah. And his brother, Hiranyaksha, was Vijay. That's better. Okay. So when they took their birth, this birth, Hiranyaksha was killed by Lord Vishnu, and we know that story. But Hiranyakashipu, his brother, became so angry. So he decided, I'm going to kill Vishnu. And an amazing thing before that, he gave a whole talk to his sister-in-law, and he recited all kinds of Vedic truths to them about the body and the soul. And after that, he said one thing, though. Vishnu is always equal to everyone. But this time, because the demigods have been worshiping you so nicely, now he's taken their side and killed. Now I'm going to kill him. All right, this is the mentality of an envious demon. Now I'm going to kill him. So he decided, now Vishnu's quite the controller, and I want to be a controller. Like, I better do some austerity so I can get some fabulous power that I can kill this Vishnu. So he went to perform austerities. And in the meantime, while he was and the austerities he performed, I don't know if any of you have done any yoga, but Hiranyakashipu, he stood on his toes, okay, put his hands in the air, and looked up. Have any of you done anything like that? Any kind of poses where you're balancing, first off, that's hard, but then looking up throws your balance off. And he did that for so long. 36,000 years. Can you imagine? And in the meantime, all these ants began to build an anthill around him and eat all of his flesh. And he was still standing there and keeping his life airs going through his bones. How amazing. This is no small little demon. So while he was there, the demigods thought, oh, he's getting so powerful. What should we do? We must do something. Need helpers in the kitchen. So he's gone, and the demigods thought, we've got to do something. Let's go and we'll start destroying his kingdom. Let's get rid of everyone around him. So they went and they started a war. And they found his wife, Hiranyakashipu's wife, and she was pregnant. And they said, all right, let's get rid of her and the baby. This is the seed of this demon. He's just going to destroy us. But before they had a chance to kill her, Narada Muni stepped in. He said, no, don't kill her. She is carrying in her womb a great devotee of the Lord. I will take her to my ashram and protect her until her husband comes back. So they respectfully allowed Narada Muni to take her. So while she was there in his ashram, she had all protection. It said she felt very safe there. But the whole time, Narada Muni was instructing the baby within the womb all about transcendental knowledge and devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So Hiranyakashipu carried on with his austerities, and it became so difficult for all the demigods. The whole earth became so hot, the whole universe. And smoke was coming from where he was standing. And so all the demigods approached Lord Brahma and said, everything is burning up. We must do something. Hiranyakashipu is performing this austerity that we've never seen before. He must be pacified. Please, will you go and pacify him? So he went. He went to where Hiranyakashipu was. And how amazing. Imagine seeing just bones, standing there in this position with a big anthill around him. And even Lord Brahma was amazed at this austerity. So he took the water from his kamandalu and he threw some upon Hiranyakashipu So he became like a young, healthy man again. Then Hiranyakashipu, because he's a demon, he's envious of Lord Vishnu. He's wanting to get his way to become the most powerful, and he's wanting to destroy everything. And his main targets of destruction, besides Lord Vishnu, is the cows and the Brahminical culture. And Srila Prabhupada, in one of the purports of this verse, he said, that is the way to make for hellish life, for killing the cow protection and also killing Brahminical program, the Brahmins. So in this way, that was his aim. But he decided he had to become immortal first. So when Lord Brahma came and gave him this body, he said, what can I do for you? You can ask a benediction. This is an amazing, amazing austerity that you have done. What would you like? So immediately, this demon, he decides he's going to fool Vishnu. I'm going to trick him. I'm going to ask to be made invincible. I want immortality. And Lord Brahma said, even I am not immortal. Even though I live so many thousands of years, I'm not immortal myself. There's an end to this life. So I cannot give that. And he said, all right, I want to be killed neither by man nor beast. He said, okay. I want to be killed by no weapons. All right. I don't want to be killed either in the day or the night, neither by man or beast. Or he had so many different qualifications. Neither inside nor outside. He thought he'd covered everything. Lord Brahma said, okay. This is a demon. Demoniac mentality. They are fooled by their own. They think they are so smart that they can fool the Supreme Lord. And they make so many arrangements. So in this way, he made all these arrangements. He thought, okay, I've covered everything. There's no way anyone could kill me. Now I'm going for Lord Vishnu. So he went back to his kingdom, and he started preparing for this fight. He was going to... And he took over all the heavenly planets. He even put himself in Lord Indra's place, and all the demigods were scared. It said that even when he lifted his eyebrows, everyone shook, even the demigods. That's how powerful he was. We can't underestimate his power. Amazing. So he was running the whole universe, this demon. And here he had this little son, Prahlad, who was born, and he sent him to school. And Prahlad was such a devotee. It said that the glories of Prahlad Maharaj, he was humble, submissive, always obedient, but he knew the shastras. He knew how to perform devotional service. He knew Lord Vishnu was his supreme lord, not Hiranyakashipu. And we'll see that got him into some trouble. Because Hiranyakashipu was so proud. It's kind of like nowadays we can see sometimes proud people, right, who don't want to hear that they're not the top person, right? And they'll say so many things, so many things. So this Hiranyakashipu, he thought he was supreme. So there was a school that he sent his son to, and his guru had two sons, Shanda and Amarka, and they taught all the children of the demons, of the asuras. And they were giving talks on, can you imagine what the talks were about? Transcendental knowledge? No. Material knowledge. How to gain, how to become successful. Okay, it's kind of like our schools now, but in a much more pinpointed way. You know, telling you how to get a job, how to become successful, how to rule, how to, you know, be diplomatic. So they were teaching this. But instead, Prahlad didn't want to know any of this. He wasn't interested in this. He was just interested in devotional service and chanting the holy names. So one day, his father, Hiranyakashipu, had his son come and sit on his lap. He said, "So, my dear son, what have you learned in the school?" So Prahlad said, "Oh, my dear father, O best of the demons, I have learned that hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet, becoming the friend of the Lord, of Lord Vishnu, this is the most important thing, devotional service, not serving our senses and becoming covered in our intelligence." You can imagine Hiranyakashipu, "What? He is our enemy. He has killed my brother, Vishnu. Why are you saying this? Who has taught you this?" And of course, Shanda and Amarka, they were scared. Can you imagine? Hiranyakashipu is getting angrier and angrier. Have you ever been around someone angry who has a short fuse, they say? You know, you're afraid of what you say because it might trip off something and they become angry. So there's a fear there. So these two were, now he's getting angry. They said, "No, we have never done anything to, we've only been teaching what you have taught, told us to teach. We do not teach about Vishnu. I don't know where he gets this." So then he became so angry that he took Prahlad and he said, "You are the friend of my enemy. You are worshiping the enemy. You are our enemy. You should be killed." Imagine just this five-year-old young boy. So he threw him off his lap and he ordered, "Come, kill this boy." So they took Prahlad away. Now Prahlad, he was so fearless. He wasn't afraid at all. And these demons came, they tried to chop him up and pierce him. They tried to boil him in oil. They tried to throw him off a mountain and Krishna caught him. So many things they tried to do. And yet Prahlad lived through all of this. Well, Hiranyakashipu was becoming a little concerned. He thought, "Boy, he's really powerful. This son of mine has a great power. Even with all of this, he has not died. Now what do I do?" And he's fearless. That was another thing that frightened Hiranyakashipu. He was fearless. So then Shanda and Amarka said, "Oh, my dear Hiranyakashipu, you know, he's a young boy. You know, he's gotten this idea in his head, but we can get this out of him. We will just put all of our attention on training him properly. So don't worry, we'll take him back to the school." So Prahlad went back. But Prahlad was even more fearless now. During breaks, he would preach to his friends at the school and say, "We are born in demon families. But really, the most important thing at this age is hearing and chanting about the glories of Lord Vishnu. We need to take shelter of Lord Vishnu. He is the ultimate shelter, not my father." And when Hiranyakashipu heard about this, he became enraged. Imagine, already he was angry, but now there's fire. What did they say? Smoke coming out of the ears, fire coming out of his eyes. He was so angry. He came to his son and he said, "You are the killer of my brother." And Prahlad just stood there with folded hands. He was so submissive. And he said, "You should die. If a diseased part of your body becomes diseased, you should chop it off to save the rest of the body. So you are the disease within our family, and you should be cut." So then Prahlad started preaching to his father. He was so amazing. He just started telling him, "You know, you're attached to this body, to these senses that are going to dwindle and go. Take shelter of Vishnu. He is the supreme person. He is the only one who can protect you and protect all of us." Well, it didn't go down too well, to say the least. His father did not like this. He became so angry. He said, because no one could kill you, I will kill you myself. And he comes towards Prahlad, and he said, and see if your Vishnu will protect you now. So all the demons were there watching. What's going to happen? What's going to go on now? And he came, took his sword out, got up from his throne, and he went over and he said, so you say that your God is everywhere? Is he in this pillar? Prahlad said, yes, Father. He is in that pillar. He is everywhere. He said, so let's see him come protect you now. I will chop off your head with this sword. And as he went by, he punched the pillar with his hand, with his fist. And a big sound came from this pillar. And not just a purr, but a roar, a big roar. And it was a sound, it said in the Bhagavatam, that no one had ever heard such a sound before. And it went throughout the whole universe, this sound. And it said elephants began running away. The sound was so great. And everyone, including Hiranyakashipu, was looking around. Where did that sound come from? What is going on? And then what happens? But the Supreme Lord appears out of this pillar, a magnificent form, half man and half lion. Lord Nrisimhadeva ki jai! And Hiranyakashipu was looking at him and saying, what is this? Who is this? He's got the body of a man, and the top is like a lion, and he's making this roar. Who is this? I've never seen anything like this before, ever. Well, that roar, all the demon army of his ran away. They were so scared, and seeing this big form of the Lord. And he came and he picked up Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu was with his swords, but he was nothing. And then the Lord dropped him, let him go. And funny enough, this is the demoniac mentality. He's got a little reprieve, and so now he's thinking that, he's scared of me, right? He's going, he's afraid of me. He's afraid of my prowess. Now I'll show him. And he starts fighting. But really, Lord Nrisimhadeva was letting him go. Just like, I don't know if you've ever seen a cat with a mouse. They throw them around, they bat them around, the mouse is running here and there. The cat's just, it's like a toy. They'll throw them up in the air, they'll do so many things. So this is how Lord Nrisimhadeva was playing with this Hiranyakashipu. But it was making Hiranyakashipu feel very bold. So he was going up, it says he went up in the air, he went down in the ground, he was trying to get the Lord with his knives and his club and his sword, and he could not touch the Lord. And suddenly, Lord Nrisimhadeva said, the demigods were all going, oh no, what's going to happen now? He's let him go. And they became scared, right? No faith, right? Not realizing there's nothing that's going to faze Lord Nrisimhadeva. So Hiranyakashipu was feeling very proud, and suddenly the Lord grabbed him, put him on his lap, went to the doorway. Okay, so he was neither inside nor outside. And he ripped apart this demon, Hiranyakashipu. And it said that he grabbed his heart and threw it, and he took out his intestines and put it around his neck. And he was so angry. Why would he be so angry, this little demon? He was angry because this demon had tried to harm his devotee. Lord Nrisimhadeva is the proof of how Krishna is always there to save and protect his devotees in any circumstance. We can always feel, rest assured, that the Supreme Lord is taking care of us. Always, he'll look after us. So Prahlad was feeling that. He understood. He had told his father, we don't have enemies. There's no enemy, no friend. We're not this body. We are eternal servants of the Supreme Lord. And that's really, as devotees, that's how we should be thinking also. There's no enemies or friends. The Supreme Lord is the Lord of everyone, even of Hiranyakashipu. He was Jai, and his brother was Vijay, and they had been doorkeepers of Vaikuntha. But having been cursed, they had to come down as demons 3 times, right? But they came back to see Lord Chaitanya for the 4th time. So they came 4 times, but really only 3 times they had to come to be killed. So I was thinking how Lord Nrisimhadev, he wasn't like most pastimes of the Lord. You see him taking birth in a family, but not Lord Nrisimhadev. He took birth from this pillar just to save his, he didn't have childhood pastimes or anything. Just to save his devotee, he was there on the spot. And there's another time when Lord Nrisimhadev appeared. And this was one time in Navadvip. And the Chan Kazi had told his guards, go and break the Murdunga, tell them they cannot chant Harinam anymore in my country. So they had broken the Murdunga and chastised the devotees, and Lord Chaitanya had gotten together a whole party to go against the Kazi and tell him, you cannot stop us from this Harinam. And he had gone, and when he, I won't tell the whole thing because time, but as he went to the Kazi's palace, the Kazi was scared. Whoa, look at all these people. It said that he had such a huge crowd, and they were all carrying torches, and they were destroying all of the village just with their presence, just walking down the roads and through the gardens, and there were so many. The Kazi was so scared. And then they brought Chan Kazi. They brought Lord Chaitanya to meet Chan Kazi. So then Lord Chaitanya had a talk with the Kazi, and he had said many things like, why are you killing the cows? Why do you eat your mother? That was one of his points. Why do you eat your mother? Why do you eat your mother? Cow killing. They were Muslim rulers. So in the end, the Chan Kazi said, I want to tell you something. But it's private, it's secret. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my associates here, they can hear whatever you tell me. He said, well, after we broke the Murdunga drum and my guards had harassed your devotees, he said, that night I went to sleep, and in my sleep a ferocious half man, half lion came and pounced upon my chest, and he put his nails there, and he said, if you ever stop my Sankirtan movement again, I will rip apart your chest. Hari Bol. So that Kazi was so frightened, and he said, I will never, neither will any of my descendants ever stop the Sankirtan party of your Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, never. So in that way, Lord Nrisimhadev, he also appeared there. And in fact, the Kazi showed his chest, and he showed the nail prints upon his chest. He showed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the power of Lord Nrisimhadev. He protects his devotees. And it doesn't matter whether they're children of 5 years old, whether they're grown women and men, or in between somewhere, it doesn't matter. His devotees, he always protects. One time we were on Sankirtan, on Harinam, in Ireland, in Dublin, And we were going along the road in Harinam, and these two drunk guys, I guess it was another Jagai and Mudai, they came up and they were walking backwards and like hitting the Murdunga and just wanting a fight is what they were doing. And they were like knocking devotees and, you know. And so then immediately they started singing, Tavakara Kamala Vare Nakam. And these guys were like, and suddenly the police came up and grabbed them from behind. We've been looking for you too. And they threw them into their van and took them away. And I thought, it was so amazing. Lorna Shingadev was just there to protect the devotees because they were so drunk, who knew what they would do to the devotees. They were just waiting for a fight. So Lorna Shingadev is always there. Srila Prabhupada taught us this Nishingadev mantra and said this is the protection of the devotees and this movement. You know, so that nothing can stop it. So we're very fortunate that if we just take to the devotional service of the Lord, you know, hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet, if we take to this and offering prayers, surrendering everything to the Lord, any one of these can save us from the most dangerous type of fear, right? And this world is full of fears. There's always fear. It says the only person who is not afraid here is a crazy man or a pure devotee of the Lord. Everyone else is always in fear. There's some fear. The other day there was a bird's nest in our barn. Some bird had put its nest there. And every day you'd go into milk and you'd hear the birds. First they were very beep, beep. You could hardly hear them. Then beep, beep, beep. And then strong, and the mother and father were going in and out, feeding them, feeding them. And then a snake came. And this snake was in the barn. And after milking, they said, oh, there's a snake there. It's a long snake. And we were thinking, oh, is it poisonous? So I looked it up. No, it wasn't a poisonous thing. I said, okay, just leave it. It'll probably go. But it climbed up and got the birds, and threw the nest down. The next day it was there again to see if there was anything. So much danger, even for little birds in a nest. This world is full of danger. It's called Mrityalok, the abode of death. It's 100%. Don't believe anybody that says they're trying to find some way to prevent death. It does not happen. This place is meant for death, every single one of us. So we have to take shelter of that Supreme Lord. And how loving he is. You know, after Lord Nisringadev killed the demon, he was so ferocious still that everyone was scared of him. Oh, you approach him. No, you approach him. So the demigods were all approaching, offering prayers. You've saved us. You have done so much for us. Thank you. You know, you've killed this demon. He was going to take over everything. Thank you, thank you. You know, still, Lord Nisringadev was so angry. They said, Lakshmi Devi, you go, you go. She didn't want to go. She could see her husband was in an angry mood. So then they all said, you go, Prahlad, you go. So Prahlad went. And he very humbly offered so many prayers to the Lord. So many prayers, saying, you have come here to save the whole world. You have made this appearance to save everyone. He was so humble. He wasn't thinking, oh, you've come here to save me and kill that demon. He wasn't at all like that. And the Lord put his hand upon Prahlad's head and became very pacified. So this is the power of devotional service. Nothing else pacified the Lord until his devotee came and offered his prayers and humbly. Lord Nisringadev said, what can I give you? I will give you a benediction. And the amazing thing, Prahlad said, if you could save my father. this demon who has been trying to kill him in so many ways, and trying to kill Vishnu, and trying to do so many things, and yet Prahlad is asking for this. And Lord Nrsingadev said, you don't have to ask for that. Because of you being a devotee, your family members, 14 generations in the past and 14 generations later, will all be saved due to your devotional service. That's the power of a devotee in a family. You know, any devotee in a family just is like a sandalwood tree in a forest. They make everything aromatic, the sandalwood tree. And a devotee in a family makes the whole family glorious. So this Prahlad was the most glorious person in this dynasty of asuras. Amazing that he was born in an asura family. You know, even Maharaj Yudhisthira was saying, it's so amazing. How did he come to this? But, you know, when the Vishnu Dutas came to offer prayers to Lord Nrsingadev, when all the demigods, that was one thing that struck me, that they said, they weren't saying, oh, thank you for saving us. They were saying, thank you, your appearance has saved the whole world. But their point was that you have come here, and you are saving your devotees, Jai. You know, because before they were Jai and Vijay. Now you have made this appearance and you are again taking him out because of the curse. They weren't seeing him as just a demon. They were seeing his past life also. That he actually is a devotee also, not just a demon, although he appears to be just a demon in that life. So the power of devotional service. And we have this great opportunity. Srila Prabhupada talked so often about Prahlad Maharaj. He used his slokas regularly in his prayers, in his lectures. And they are so important in our lives. Just going over it again these past week has just, it makes the love for the Lord grow in your heart. The Srimad Bhagavatam does that anyway, but just seeing how kind the Lord is to his devotees and how he will protect his devotees through everything is just, and how he makes special arrangements. Even he made this special arrangement to come out of a pillar to protect his devotee Prahlad. So we can count on that protection ourselves. We just have to serve the Lord. In whatever capacity we have, we serve the Lord. And then we're guaranteed the protection and the love of Krishna. And the love will grow in our hearts so that we can serve even more. And that's the power of devotional service. And to me, that was the essence of this pastime of the Lord, was just how much the Lord loves his devotees. So I'll stop there. If anyone wants to make a correction or anything, please.
Thank you very much for such a wonderful description. I have a couple of questions. One is described that Prahlad's mother was pregnant with him before his father left for austerities. Mm-hmm. And you describe that as being 36,000 years. So how come Prahlad was only 5 years old after? And the other one is Narad Muni was cursed that he cannot stay in one place for more than a few moments. Uh-huh. So how come he had Kayadu in an ashram, which Narad doesn't really have an ashram? And he taught her and protected her for such a long time.
Uh-huh. Do you know the answer to that?
The day Hiranyakashipu returned after 36,000, now some acharya say 60,000, we are not fighting, either way is a big number.
It's a long time.
Yeah. The day Hiranyakashipu returned from, after getting the blessing from Mandar Hill to his capital, the Prahlad was born. So 5 years calculated from that moment. He was whole time in the womb.
Right. He was never it was came longer out. Than normal in the womb. Yeah. But the pastime, because the Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't go day by day, so you don't, you know, they're moving along. But it said that he stayed longer than normal in the womb because the mother didn't want to have the child born without the father there.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also said there could be some scandal or something. Some people may say so many things. So, because Hiranyakashipu wanted to also see the child is born from his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So just to assure from every angle, it was properly done.
Mm-hmm.
The child was born.
How he had stayed in his ashram long enough to teach Prahlad when he's only allowed to stay places for a short time.
But this is already defined in the when Narad Muni came to Dwarka, that his curse from Daksha is not active there.
In his ashram.
Correct. So when he is in his ashram, in his meditational place, this curse of Daksha has no power.
So it's just when he's going other places correct. Around the universe to...
Even that he is accepting it, not that he has to be affected by it. He just accepts it and he takes it as a gift.
A benediction.
So he can travel more.
Like some devotees. Anyone else?
Prabhu, you mentioned that Jai Vijay also were in Chaitanya Leela. Can you explain that pastime?
Yes, actually, I was on a parikram, and Jayapataka Swami was telling that they heard that the Lord was going to appear in a golden form, and Benedict ever, and they wanted to see this. So after being killed the third time, they had asked the blessing, could we go and see Lord Chaitanya? So they were born there as Jagai and Madai. And they saw Chaitanya, but they were still demons, but not big demons, right? And the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not come to kill demons, although he had his Sudarshan Chakra out ready to kill Madai. But they saw the Lord and they were so enraptured that the Lord is such a beautiful form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he killed their mentality. And that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes for, is to kill the demoniac mentality. So he killed their demoniac mentality, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And then they became devotees on the bank of the Ganga, and then they went back home afterwards. But he was saying how they actually desired to see the Lord. After hearing about him, that desire was so strong that they begged that benediction to please that one more time if they could see the Lord.
Hare Krishna, thank you. There's a little booklet put out by Mayapur that I have that shows the mercy and compassion of the Lord in the Sringadeva. There are different instances that the devotees report of him interceding in their life, and even though he's very fierce, he's also in the mood of Lord Chaitanya there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a wonderful little booklet.
Yes, very nice. Ragatmika Prabhu had a...
You mentioned that they asked Lakshmi Devi to go forward to pacify Lord Nrisimhadeva. Now, I don't recall where I was reading, and it wasn't the seventh canto, but it stated that Lakshmi Devi was reluctant to go because she doubted that this was her husband. She had never seen such a presence. So she actually doubted that was him.
Yeah, you can imagine.
Where did I read that?
Ninth canto.
Is it?
Ninth canto.
See the commentary of Vishnu.
Ah.
Because she was massaging to Maharaj.
Yeah, let him get the... so everyone can hear.
I'll just make it short. That she was massaging to Narayan, and she was wondering that how his feet is so soft, and he fights with the big demon. His body is so soft and so nice, but to fight with these big muscle, stone-hearted demons, how he does it? So she was wondering, and then Narayan smiled. So then she asked, Prabhu, why are you smiling? So I'm smiling just in due course of time it will happen. So when Nrisimhadev was appeared in such a giant body, then they approached her to go, and she recalled that past times, that how to prove. So Lord appearing now, proving that's how I fight. But she was afraid. She never saw her husband in that form. She recognized, but she didn't want to go.
She never made Lord Narayan that angry.
I don't know the reference for this, but I know there is a reference, so no doubt someone in the audience can say it. But I'm always inspired by this part of the pastime, where what the parts that look so ghastly, him, Hiranyakashipu ripping out the heart, ripping out the intestines and putting it around like a garland, that it's actually deep inside there's a manifestation of great love between him and Jai. Because it says in the Bhagavatam, he ripped out the heart like a lotus and took it like a lotus flower. And then the intestines, Hiranyakashipu had taken all the offerings of, I know, demigods and forefathers over the years, and it was stored in the intestines. And so Lord Nrisimhadev was now, so the poor Pitris, you know, they were deprived of the benefit they normally get. So Lord Nrisimhadev was taking all that and accepting it. I just love to hear how everything the Lord does, no matter what it looks like, is filled with love.
Yes, that's a fact. Nrisimha Bhagavan ki jai, Shri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.